Only sissies cry. Real men stand in the rain and listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the LHSRA Reviewers Podcast.
Episode 7.1.
So 7.1. Take 2.
Take 2.
It's take 2 because we did take 1 and for an hour and a half, but only recorded 1.3 seconds of it.
It was going really well.
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was actually better than this one. We haven't done this one yet, but it was better.
It will never live up to the original.
At all.
This is like a remake.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Think of a bad remake. Conan.
You can't have a bad remake to a bad film.
Well, that's debatable.
Actually, no. But it was a bad remake. It was a worse remake than the film.
Maybe that's something to say to it about the original podcast as well.
Maybe.
It's good for its time.
Yeah. bad remakes, there are a lot of those. Pretty much everything.
I haven't seen it, but Total Recall, I've heard, is quite a bad remake.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Even though that's disputed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't like it. Okay. I like the original, which I'd probably get lynched for.
We're getting a little bit off topic,
aren't we? Yeah, so the date is the 19th of April 2013.
Would you got that right? Perfect.
Yeah, damn straight. I don't forget the date ever. I say that because I've been forgetting the date every day this year. And I've been writing down the wrong date every day this year. And I write down the date pretty much every day. So at least once, usually 4 or 5 times, which is impressive.
But today you got it right, so.
Yeah. It's alright, it's not like I'm a teacher or anything. It's not like I should know basic things like the date. And I'm your host today. My name's Aidan. With me is Simon.
Hello.
And that is it, because everybody else is ill or have other things to do, more important things like work.
Yeah, and so. People.
People, yeah.
Yeah.
Loved ones.
So Stu is nursing a ill girlfriend. Bez is nursing an ill
Bez.
Head. Yeah.
Probably watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
Yeah.
Jeff has to get up at 4 a.m, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
For work. I know he's got work. I'm not assuming he's got work. I'm assuming he's got to get up at 4 a.m.
And Mikey's sleeping with a client.
From 4 this afternoon until 9 in the morning.
He's a goer, is Mikey. Yeah. My light's still on.
Good. We're going to reference that every so often, that the light's still on our recording equipment, because that's how we noticed that it wasn't recording early.
No, we went to check the time. We were like, how long have we been going for? This is a pretty blank screen. Maybe it's gone into sleep mode.
Now we're watching the big red light that lets us know we're recording.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. This is technically, like, an hour and a half into the podcast.
Yeah, but you'll never hear the first half. Well, you kind of will. It's just going to be similar to what we're going to say now.
Mixed up.
Yeah, a bit mixed up. Chopping and change to keep it fresh for you.
Yeah.
The stuff you haven't heard. So start with the news again.
Yeah. So breaking news. So I was going to mix it up. So yeah, about a month from now, which is
I'm going to go with May the 21st.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's not exactly a month from now, but yeah, about a month from now, May the 21st is where the Xbox announcement is rumored to be. So looking forward to the announcement to see what comes out of it, because PlayStation have got there ahead of the game.
Yeah, I really want to see what they say.
Yeah,
just want to see what the hardware is and what games they've got, and if they have any like developers that are saying, yeah, we're going to do exclusives for this new console.
Well, at the moment they're all saying that there's like exclusives for PlayStation, but I wonder if that's because they can't say they're going to Xbox, the new Xbox now.
Yeah, there's a chance of that. But at the same time, there aren't really any developers left out there that can say. I mean, BioWare, potentially, they got a game coming out for PlayStation that's an exclusive.
I don't think so. Not very.
So possibly BioWare, and I do like BioWare.
Mm.
They do some good stuff. The people who brought you Far Cry and Assassin's Creed and stuff like that.
I think there's plenty of developers who haven't announced like exclusives, but like you said, Bungie.
They don't need to either. I mean, you can have stuff like Call of Duty. They're not going to do exclusives, I don't think.
No, no. But so, you're always going to get the same game on both consoles.
Yeah. So I don't know if the... It depends if it's in the developer's interest, really, to do exclusives.
Hmm.
I mean, I know Destiny and Bungie, obviously, have said that their game's going to be exclusive. I think it's exclusive DLC for a time period for the PlayStation. So it still becomes an Xbox. It's just...
Yeah.
It'd be like GTA was on the original Xbox. You're going to have to wait a year before it comes out type thing. Which is irritating if you own that console, but if you can wait, you can wait. I am looking forward to see what they're saying. For me, it's got to just be a better presentation. Not for me to buy the console, obviously, but for me to enjoy it, it's got to be a better presentation. The last presentation wasn't shit. Well, it was shit. It was a shit presentation because of the things they did.
Yeah.
They focused too much on showcasing the people who worked on it and not the actual product itself.
Yeah.
Which I found quite irritating, because I don't care who's worked on it, as long as it's a masterpiece.
Well, I think the people who worked on it do deserve recognition, but not in their announcing.
Yeah, like the first game they announced was from... I'm going to hold my hands up, I don't know who he is, but apparently he's huge, worked on Atari for like when it was 16 type of stuff, built his way up. Yeah, you're nodding your head, I ain't got a clue either. Bezel.
I didn't even watch the thing.
But because he's well known in the industry... they announced his game first,
and okay.
It was a child's game. Well, it wasn't anything any serious adult would be buying or
Did
playing.
Did Bez get excited?
Yeah, he's going, oh, this looks alright. I said, no, it looks like Crash Bandicoot, but with good graphics. So, don't get me wrong, I like Crash, but I don't expect them to go...
You're not going
to
buy a console Crash Bandicoot.
You need to spend £300 on this console to buy a Crash. No, I don't.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't know, though. You can say a lot for kiddie-looking games. Look at Mario, like Mario Galaxy.
Again, I've never played it.
But people do buy consoles for... People buy the Wii for the Mario games.
Yeah, but they're more...
More established, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't mean this as an insult, but they're fanboys. That they do, and that's not meant as an insult at all. That's
if you're a massive Halo fan.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So if that's what you're, if you're into Mario, you're into Mario, and fair play. But that's made for them. But this is a new game. It's not Crash Bandicoot. It just looks a little bit like it. And some of the physics, they showed off the physics quite well, what the PlayStation can do. But to me, you don't open with that. Come on, put it in there if you want. Put it in the showcase. I'm sure there's people watching it who are thinking, "Oh, I could get that for my son to keep him quiet for an hour."
Yeah.
But because he's 6 years old, whatever. But you don't open up with that game. But anyway, that's the PlayStation conference. I'm hoping the Xbox at least learn from that and open up with something good. But I'm not holding my breath. Because I don't know what they could come out with, other than hardware, which is rumoured to be worse anyway by a little bit.
Yeah,
I can't see what games they can come out with and say you need to get this because of this.
I think they must have something on their sleeve. Like they must do, because you don't hold out this long if you don't have anything.
Maybe you do hold out this long. Maybe because there's no point coming out going, we've got nothing. Okay. So maybe you do hold that until the beginning of summer to say, yeah, all right, we've in the last month we've managed to scrape together some stuff.
Yeah.
So a developer or two.
So you think that Xbox might have been holding off to see what PlayStation came to the table with?
Yeah.
Developer-wise.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone even expected PlayStation to do this, to be fair.
Mm.
Because it's quite uncommon. Apparently, everyone waits for E3 and announces stuff from there. So for the PlayStation to do this, I quite like it. But and it's forced Microsoft to do it themselves. And we're not even positive that they're doing well. It's just...
But they've got a big conference.
Yeah, but it's by the sounds of it, they're going to do it.
If they don't do it now, I think they're going to be making a mistake, because...
I don't know.
Well, look at how much of a head start PlayStation have already got. Like, they've got the public, like, are thinking PlayStation 4 is coming out.
Yeah, but the only thing that I can think of that they've got left to show us now is the hardware. And anyone with an IQ above 70 will know that what the console looks like doesn't matter at all. It can come in a shoebox.
Yeah, I think...
As long as it's a sturdy shoebox that can hold all the components, I don't give a rat's ass.
I think the main thing is, once this announcement happens, is there's going to be the whole, like we were talking about, the dogfight between the two opposing consoles, which one's going to be better. They'll come out and say, we've got this, and then Xbox will respond with, we've got this, PlayStation will come back.
The only thing I can think of, if they don't announce it on May the 21st, which everyone's saying they're going to, so... Apart from Xbox themselves, everyone said they're going to.
Because Microsoft doesn't comment on rumours.
So it's highly likely they will. But if they don't, then it'll be E3. And if a brand new console gets announced at E3, then anything else that gets announced at E3 is overshadowed.
Mm.
All games, even PlayStation hardware, what it looks like. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, it'll be second on the news list, but the main thing will be, this is what's inside the Xbox, this is what to expect from them.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping they do announce it on the 21st, because I just want to know, and I want the battle to start.
When is E3? Do we know?
I think it's June.
Okay, so if they announce it now, or in May, 21st of May, then that would set them up well to then announce some games at E3.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
I think E3 is going to be where a lot of the battles won.
Yeah.
For both PlayStation and Xbox.
Well, yeah, because all the main reviewers, apart from us, managed to get their hands on stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's that's when all the details are going to come out. This plays well.
Yeah.
You can do this with the touchpad. You can do this with whatever Xbox have done.
I wonder if they're going to have a touchpad and a controller, or maybe even a screen and a controller, like the Wii.
I hope not
as well, because you can't really sit and play a game and hold your controller.
From what I've heard, is a lot of the time with the Wii, you're just scanning stuff. Right. You have to hold up the controller in front of you, so it's head on with the TV, so you can scan stuff. I'm not sure how that works. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've heard that wrong, but I don't like it.
It sounds like, for me, like if you've got one screen, you don't want to be switching between your two screens to be working out what's happening on your controller. Like, but I wonder if they're going to put a touch element into it like the PlayStation's got there.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
But it's going to be interesting whatever they come out with.
Yeah, because nothing's been leaked yet.
Yeah, literally nothing really.
Nothing like...
Well, it's meant to be always online.
Yeah, that's been leaked. It's meant to be always online, and they've leaked that it's... The hardware's...
There's going to be two versions, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's not going to be so good as the PlayStation, but not far off.
Yeah.
But none of this has been confirmed, but it's...
But then, if you look at the hardware as it is at the moment, the 360 technically isn't as good as the PlayStation 3.
Exactly, but it holds its own.
It does more than hold its own, I think. I think it's a better console because of the sort of interaction...
Yeah, the interface that it has, the dashboard.
Yeah.
Personally, to me...
Yeah, because we would say that the dashboard of the PlayStation 3 is a bit, clinical. It's not about, really, entertainment. It's more like a PC.
Yeah, and it's easy. It's like flicking through the apps on your phone.
Yeah.
That's how easy it is to find stuff. And then if you need to delve further, then you go to settings and you can find it all. Whereas on the PlayStation Hub, it's very difficult to find stuff, I find.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier on the original Take One.
Podcast 7.
Yeah, that I've been playing on the PlayStation for last week, and it's just so hard to find your saved stuff. Like, if you want to delete memory, And not only that, it saves it on different usernames, so you have to go into different usernames to delete stuff separately. You can't just access one memory unit. Like, if we want to access the memory unit on the hard drive, then it doesn't matter who you're signed in as, you can just access everything. And you can access other people's usernames as long as there's no password on it, and delete stuff on that. And although that can be dangerous, at the same time, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, like you said, if you're worried about that, you've got password, that password option.
Yeah. So, all the usernames I was going through today on the PlayStation, none of them were passworded, so I could still do it all. I could still delete everything.
It's just more
it just took me longer. And I still did it. It just took me longer.
Yeah.
So people downloading 10-ton demos that no one's actually ever played. Oh, for the love of God.
Well, you have that element on Xbox, but it's a lot easier to go to just My Games and it will come up with all your games.
Yeah, or you go find the memory card or the memory unit and everything's in there.
Yeah.
And it's just a big list of stuff. But on this, the list seems to be spread out. Like each option is a few inches apart, and a lot of them are off the screen. You have to scroll to find them instead of just being there. They tried to make it look fancy, and it's too difficult to navigate. So, but again, that's PlayStation. Hopefully, they'll have improved that. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
But I think where Xbox really have the advantage at the moment is that they're more user friendly. But I think the PlayStation will have cottoned onto that. And I think we'll see a lot more comparisons between the two consoles now.
Well, the big difference with making it online was that the Xbox came with a headset. Whenever you buy an Xbox, you get a headset.
Yeah.
Whenever you buy a PlayStation 3, you don't.
Yeah.
So it's straight away.
But I know that they're going to have a headset in the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, they'd have to.
No, I know that they are, because that was one of our issues, and now it's going to be included so that more people, because apparently when you go on the PlayStation Network, everybody's silent.
Yeah,
literally no one talks. Like, it's become more silent on the Xbox, actually, I found recently, but everyone does have a headset to use if they want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you do get more people talking.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I hope they pull something out. I really do, because I do love the Xbox. But I'm not swearing allegiance to it. If the PlayStation turns out to be better, I'm taking the PlayStation.
Yeah, we could probably talk about this all day. Like, what's good about the PlayStation, what's good about the Xbox, and what we're hoping for. But yeah, but the conference on the 21st of May, I think, we'll find out a lot.
Which, again, hasn't actually officially been announced, but...
Well,
extremely strong rumours from people that are trusted, so...
Yeah, so we'll see. I think we'll wait to see what happens, but... Yeah. That's the first news item out of the way.
Yeah, so only like 20 minutes in, I think.
Yeah, roundabout. So after that, I guess we'll go on to another big announcement, which happened actually this week, was the Star Wars dates have been set for the films. So we're going to get 5 films in 5 years.
Yep, all based around Jar Jar.
Yeah, Jar Jar's big adventure.
Yeah. Adventures of Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's Neverending Story 1. Jar Jar's Neverending Story 2.
Big Jar Jar's house. meet the Jar Jars.
Yeah. So, but we are going to have two spin-offs in these 5 movies, and we are hoping that one of them is going to be Jar Jar.
I really hope it is. As much as it would pain me, I would love it at the same time, because I know it would just piss
everyone off.
Yeah. Everybody likes Star Wars.
I hope one of the spin-offs is Jar Jar, and one of them is Child Anakin.
From the age of 0 to 5.
Yes. No, because there was a gap in between episode 1 and episode 2 where he was still a child.
Fair, every version of Anakin is just true. Awful.
But I think Child Anakin is something to be.
No, you know. I prefer Child Anakin to the old Anakin.
Really?
Yeah, because he's a man. He should stop his bitching and grow up. He's gone to the best university in the universe.
True, yeah.
He should know better.
True.
And he said, no, I want to do this. It's not fair. My son's going to whine like this in a few years' time.
This is what happens when you're an only child.
Yeah. Damn their eyes.
But yeah, damn their eyes. Yes, on the end.
Slipping in there.
Slipping in there.
Damn their eyes.
I've completely forgotten about that. So yeah, we'll put a link to Dab Your Eyes up at the end. What song was it, actually?
I've forgotten what the song's called, but it's by Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, but sorry, Dab Your Eyes.
Something, it might be called Samuel.
Yeah, that's something you say quite a lot now, isn't it?
I do say quite a lot. I said someone at work the other day, and the guy just looked at me blankly, and like, did a double look and then looked away. But actually, I'm not going to question it.
Alright, so from Johnny Cash, let's go back to Star Wars.
That's the worst link ever.
And in 2015, 2017, and 2019, we're going to get episodes 7, 8, and 9.
12. Oh, yeah, 9. Yeah, no, 9, but that's 8.
So we're going to get 7, 8, and 9. And in between the three films...
They should break it. They shouldn't have trilogies.
What do you mean? Just have like two films?
Yeah, have two films. Or two and a half, and then end it halfway through, and then the rest just like a Mickey Mouse thing.
Or they could make spin-off movies. Maybe that's what they do. Maybe they're going to release 5 films.
I really hope they're chasing... I hope there's one lightsaber to rule them all.
That would be amazing. And like a...
An Ewok.
A little Ewok has to return it.
Yes. Jedi's...
They have to return it to the Death Star from whence it came.
Yes, Jedi's aren't to be trusted with it. It's too much for them to handle.
Yes. We should write this spin-off.
This is happening.
Yeah. And so we're going to get 2 spin-offs in 2016 and 2018.
Light's still on.
Still recording. Okay. Well, that's all we're going to say about Star Wars. So we can check this out. We can check the light after every article.
That's not a bad idea. Although I'm confident now. Now I've changed the batteries.
Yeah, but that's when it gets you. That's where the light gets you.
I've changed the batteries and the bulb.
Yeah. <You know. laughs> Okay, so moving on with the news. What else we got? Let's talk about Divekick.
Oh, God.
So Divekick is like something which they were these guys who make this fighting game were showing off at PAX, which is a games conference in America. But Divekick, I had heard about it on other podcasts and I had never seen it. And I showed Aiden earlier what Divekick was and saw it for myself the first time. So what did you think of it? What were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were... Well, at first it wasn't showing it, was it? It wasn't showing the actual gameplay.
No.
I was like, this looks shit. And then the gameplay started and... I was unsure.
Because I didn't tell you anything about it.
I just didn't know if I liked it or not. I was like, this is ridiculous. Is it good? Is it a good ridiculous or is it just like, this is stupid?
I could see it sort of working out in your head, like, was it good or bad?
I couldn't decide, but I've decided now I quite like it.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Obviously...
So let's talk about what it is.
The story looks awesome.
Yeah, so... Yeah, well, they didn't really explain the story. There is one. And if it's going to be a story, it's going to be a cliched story, because it's sort of like...
Something to do with kicking.
Yeah. Well, the game is essentially a parody of a fighting game.
Yeah.
But they're releasing it as a full game. And there's only 2 buttons. Dive and kick. And
what's it called again?
Dive kick. So, yeah. Dive kick is a game where you jump and kick. And you do a downwards diagonal kick. And it's a one-hit kill game. So if you get the kick landed right, then...
First kick wins,
yeah. But it's a...
5 rounds.
Is it 5 rounds?
You have to win 5 rounds.
Okay, cool. And then it was like, just jump and kick. But obviously, your opponent is trying to jump and kick you at the same time. So it sounds ridiculous, but like...
It's because it is.
It is ridiculous, yes. But
it's a good ridiculous.
The premise behind it is that if you think about all these fighting games, which people take really seriously, it takes quite a lot to get into being really good at a fighting game. Yeah. But with Divekick, you've got literally 2 buttons to master. If you can jump and kick and get it right...
It's all about timing.
And it's all about timing and the mind game that's involved in fighting games.
So am I jumping forward or am I jumping back? Or am I kicking back or am I kicking forward?
Yeah, no. So the kick button, it's like you don't even... you don't even move. You can only move backwards if you press the kick button.
Yeah.
And and the way the guy explained it to you, which I told you, is funny. You're not actually moving backwards when you kick the ground. You are kicking the ground so hard that the earth moves in the opposite direction.
I like that.
That sums up what the game is going to be like, what the premise of the game is. It doesn't take itself too seriously, I think.
I don't think it can.
No, to be fair. And it's, I like the idea of it because when you see a fighting game and you see two really good professionals going at it, you might not really see what's going on because there's so many crazy moves going on.
Yeah.
But like this, anybody can get into what it's going to be like. You can
just pick it up.
Yeah.
And you pick it up and then a couple of games, you've got it.
I think it's going to be easy to learn, but hard to master.
Yeah, definitely. Now it's coming out on PlayStation Network, PlayStation Vista, and PC.
Yep.
It's pretty good. Shame it's not coming to Xbox, but luckily, most people who own an Xbox also own a PC.
I think it's going to be a good little party game to bring out.
Yeah.
Like a Rock Band sort of game where...
Yeah, if you get the controls for it, then...
Yeah, anybody can play it and just pick it up and have a go.
Yeah.
I think that's the sort of market it's going to appeal to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
sort of casual gamers with friends who might not have play computer games, but if you want to get them into computer games, it's an easy way to sort of do that.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll stick on with games and we'll talk about Far Cry 3 DLC, which is going to be released on the 1st of May. And looks pretty damn crazy. Yeah. Well, it doesn't look anything at all like Far Cry 3.
No. I mean, neither of us have played it. Well, I played half an hour of it, but it's...
Well, we've seen quite a bit of it, though.
It's definitely nothing like it, though. No. So that's... from what I've seen, it's... Imagine a film from the 80s that's sci-fi, say, like Terminator meets... Mad Max type thing.
Yeah.
Or Mad Max 3.
Yeah.
So an 80s film like that that's set in the future. And that future is 2007. Which is pretty cool. But it's not actually 2007 as we know it. It's 2007 as the people in the 80s would have thought it to be.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. It's cyborgs running around, and it's the actual trailer is just a cartoon. And
doesn't even look like a trailer for a game.
No, I thought it was a trailer for a cartoon. When Bez showed it to me, he didn't tell me what it was. He went, "Just watch this." And I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
You get that happen to you quite a lot, don't you?
I did
it with you for Divekick, and Bez did it for that.
I don't know, people just like my initial reaction for some reason, I'm random shit.
Just to see how angry or
but the, excited for the first 30 seconds, it was just a cartoon. I was like, this looks shit, and then it turned into a computer game. I was like, alright, I'm quite interested now, what is this? And then it came up at the end, saying Far Cry 3, released 1st of May 2007. Then across 2013. So yeah, it looks good. And the good thing about it to me is that you don't have to own Far Cry 3 to download it. It's a standalone DLC.
Yeah, like what were we saying? Red Dead Redemption. And Undead Nightmare.
Yeah,
it's going to be a similar sort of thing. We
think so. Yeah, we don't know if it'll come out on disc. The info's got to be out there because it comes out in a couple of weeks. We just haven't researched it.
Yeah.
But so we don't know how much it's going to cost or on how it's going to be available. But
we do know it's out 1st of May 2007.
Yes.
Or 2013.
Or 2013. So yeah, it looks good. The trailer looks good.
It looks crazy and like it totally not like Far Cry, but it looks like it's going to be fun.
It doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah.
It's not serious. It's the opposite to serious.
Speaking of something that isn't serious, and the opposite of serious, and it's not even on the list. This is something new for this version of the podcast.
Okay.
Saints Row 4 had a trailer.
Did it?
Did you not see it?
No.
It was mental. So for Saints Row 3, they were bringing out the story goes that they were bringing out an expansion pack for Saints Row 3, where you would be a superhero and loads of crazy powers. And at some point, they were running alongside developing Saints Row 4 at the same time.
Okay.
Now they've merged the two together.
Okay.
And in Saints Row 4, you're going to be spending some of the time in real world, and some of the time in this virtual world where you're a superhero.
Okay, cool.
So it's going to be... I mean, imagine... You remember what Saints Row referred as, like, for over-the-topness.
Definitely.
And Saints Row 4 is going to be able to go wherever they want with it, because they'll be in a virtual world for half of it.
Yeah.
But I do know one thing, which is if you've seen the trailer, you'll know straight away. you play the President of the United States.
Yeah.
So you've become... The leader of the Saints has become the President of the United States.
That's awesome.
I don't know, I can't imagine where we're going to go for it, but the trailer is literally just like a cut, like a scene for a second, then another scene for a second, and another scene. It's like an epileptic fit in a trailer, but of loads of, it just gets crazier and crazier as it goes along.
Oh man, I can't wait to play that game. I can't wait to own that game for free.
Yes, yes, because of your bet. But yeah, it had a trailer released, and... yeah, it just looks crazy and awesome, as all Saints Row games are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. So yeah, there's some new news we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, take that podcast.
that's because of all the rehearsals we've done. Okay, and what else is in the news? I'm doing it out of order. Okay, so we got Amazon have started releasing original pilots for original TV series by Amazon.
Yeah, pretty sure it's by Amazon.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, it definitely looks like that. The one that was stands out is Zombieland, isn't it? Cause it's an epic film. A comedy about a zombie apocalyptic world. Apocalyptic. That'll do.
Yeah. It's set in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. But it's a comedy. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to watch that pilot at some point over the next week.
Yeah.
Because
the way it works, the way the thing works with Amazon is they release like 10 pilots, and whichever one gets watched, or whichever ones get watched and rated highly,
yeah,
are the ones which they will continue to make.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. And that, to me, seems more exciting than the actual Zombieland thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are excited about Zombieland.
Oh, yeah, but it seems more exciting. I think
the premise of the original pilots...
And it seems more exciting to me because it's not studios now that are deciding what's going to be published and what's not.
Yeah.
It's going to be viewers.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that idea that we get to choose.
Well, I think they do have that sort of system at the moment. They release pilots and people...
to a certain amount of people.
And it's more like... I wouldn't even know where to watch a pilot, you know?
Yeah.
But like with this like service, if that's what they're doing,
yeah,
and they make it well publicised, it's going to be quite... Yeah.
Exactly. And, well, they're using Love Films to do it as well. And
that's it's a big company in the UK for watching... you know, movies online, and it's an Amazon-owned company, so it makes sense for them to do it.
And
it's basically a way of providing free TV shows to people.
And they can advertise it themselves as well, because they can advertise it via Love Film, which is huge, and can advertise it via Amazon, which is huge.
Yeah, it would be good to see a lot more advertisement for it, because I think I've only just heard about it. I don't know how long it's been around.
No, yeah.
Which is an interesting point. But, yeah, I think... if we see a lot more of this in the future, it might become a successful and a good way to do it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's looking forward to seeing what comes out of it.
Definitely, me too.
But yeah, that's all the news we've got.
Is that everything?
Yep, that's my news.
It's the second time I've heard it and I still didn't realise that was the end.
That's my newscasting. No, because I did it in a different order the first time.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough. Well, so have you been playing anything? Suppose we should do that bit.
Yeah, I guess because it's been like 4 weeks since our last podcast.
Yeah.
So I have played quite a lot since then. The reason we haven't had a podcast for quite a while is because we had like a bit of an Easter break, didn't we?
Yeah.
An unintentional sort of Easter break.
Easter break. Because 5 out of 6 podcasters were on holiday.
Yeah, so it just happened that way. But I don't remember in the last podcast if I completed Dead Space 2, but I have now completed Dead Space 2, which, yeah, it's a good game. I think it was better than number 1.
Yeah, was it? I think I didn't play number 1, I only played 2.
I liked number 1. I think number 1 was more scary, but number 2 I think had a... it was a little while ago since I played it. It feels like ages, but I think it had a better storyline than number 1. It had, it certainly had some more memorable scenes, like with the...
Does the storyline make sense to you? Because it didn't make sense to me that well. It made a little bit of sense, but I didn't play the first one.
Yeah, it does when you play the first one. I can see how it wouldn't make sense at all if you haven't, but it does if you play the first one.
It made a little bit of sense because I watched the video that they provide.
That doesn't really explain anything.
It was a bit bland and brief. So
yeah, if you play the first game and then play the second game shortly after, which I did, then it does make sense because, you know, it goes on about the marker and how important the marker is and what the marker's done, or like the effect it's had on everyone, and what's come out of Dead Space 1 directly transfers over to Dead Space 2.
Right.
So it does make more sense. It doesn't make like loads of sense because it's still a little bit like,
what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. But you do. I think it's a good storyline. Maybe I like the storyline more because it carried on from Dead Space 1 and just built on that. Because Dead Space 1 storyline was really good.
Yeah.
But I think that they did this one better. They had, I don't know, some of the moments in this game were much better than the moments in Dead Space 1.
Right.
Like, I don't want to give it away, but I'll just do a little motion for you. And like,
That's awesome. I accidentally messed that up at first
time
too, as well.
And I was like, ah!
Yeah, it's so gruesome.
So I know, well, obviously for people who are listening, they're not going to have a clue what we're going on about, but that's because we don't want to spoil what the storyline is. But I suppose it's
not, it's not even part of the story, really, is it?
But it is quite an old game now, so people have probably seen it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's when the needle bit, and it's he talks about the needle, and he gets in his machine and does this needle injection thing. And I did it wrong the first time and just ripped out his brain.
I didn't intentionally do that.
No, I didn't.
I was like, oh,
because I didn't get what was going on.
But that bit is just like an iconic part of Dead Space 2.
When I was playing Dead Space 1, there wasn't any real moments like that. And
when I played Dead Space 3, there wasn't either. Yeah. But I didn't finish it. I found that disappointing.
See, like, yeah, that was, for me, that was like the part which defined Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's because it's been building up to that sort of, that moment really, right the way through when he's talking about this machine.
Are you going to play number 3?
I am going to play it. I'm going to give it a little bit of a break,
I think. I'm looking forward to hearing what you think of that once you've played it. Because I was really disappointed with it.
Okay.
But maybe you won't be, especially if you play it all the way through. Maybe you'll have a different take on what actually happens.
I do want to play it. I think I'll play it all the way through. But I can see how if it's lost its sort of horror element.
I think I got over halfway. I think I got about 60-70% through it, and I was like, I'm bored.
Yeah, because that's for one thing with Dead Space 2, it keeps you interested.
Yeah.
And Dead Space 1 is the same. It keeps you jumping all the time.
This one seems to have got... Number 3 seems to have got rid of the jumpiness.
Mm.
For me, it didn't make me jump at all. It made me swear a lot, but that's because they're constantly throwing enemies at you.
Yeah.
And I don't find that scary. I find that frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want to be scared in a horror film. I don't want to... Or a horror game. Yeah.
If that's like what the game is like, then it's sort of become that progression. Because game 1 was really horror based.
Yeah.
Game 2, not so horror based, a little bit more like it did make me jump, but it wasn't anywhere near as tense as number 1.
Right.
It was more like actiony, I guess. A little bit more actiony.
I personally find 3 just an action game.
Mm. One thing which really riled me up for number 2 is that when you kill an enemy, you have to stand on it. So,
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, well, no, you stand on it to get the ammo.
Oh, okay.
In number one, you didn't have that. You shot it, and the ammo just spurted out of it as it died.
That continues in three as well. You need to damage them whilst they're dead.
Yeah.
So you can shoot them and it'll drop out, or you can
that is a stupid little thing, but that really pissed me off.
No, it's not a stupid thing, because at the same time, it's like, I don't understand how punching you is going to make you drop your wallet.
I think it was, I liked it in Dead Space 1, where you just shot them and then ammo came out of them.
Yeah, that's fair enough, that makes sense.
But like, in Dead Space 2...
Well, it doesn't make sense, but it's acceptable way of getting stuff, but...
In Dead Space 2, I was running around stamping on corpses half the time.
Exactly. I'm not sure what they were trying to achieve for that. What did you think to the babies?
That was funny, that was really creepy. That was one of the creepy bits in the game. I was like, what the fuck?
And their heads are all twisted up and they're running around on four legs, even though two of them are arms.
I know,
oh, shit.
And it was creepy. I mean, there were moments... Yeah, that sound, I was like... When you hear that sound, like, it sets your heart on edge a little bit as well. So that's, I think there were better enemies in number two than there were in number one.
I've heard that.
But the moments weren't as scary, but I think there were moments which were better, like the needle in the arm.
Right.
So it's difficult to make a comparison, but it was a good game. So that's what I finished, and it was good. And I'm looking forward to number three, but I want to give it a little bit of a break, I think, before I play it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so what about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about this because I know Bez wants to. And he should have been here to fill it in, but as he's not.
But there's not going to be any spoilers, so.
No.
Okay, good.
Apart from the ending is, no. No, it's... I liked this game. I found the story quite interesting throughout. I mean, I wasn't completely hooked. It took me a couple of weeks to finish it. But the story itself was pretty interesting. This guy called DeWitt, and you have to go get this girl from a floating city. And from the offset, you're told that if you get the girl, you'll wipe away your debts. You don't really know what your debts are. But you know,
you have debts.
Yeah, you know you have debts, and if you get out, they're wiped.
And debts are bad.
And debts are bad, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. You go get her, and the story progresses as you go along, slowly unfolds. It unfolds at like a snail's pace, for me personally. It took quite a while.
You were saying it sort of drip feeds you the story.
Yeah, which.
A little bit like little bits,
But it's just little bits of dialogue given to you, so there's no real direct videos. Mm. It's just little bits of dialogue whilst you constantly play. Which is fine, I like the idea, but it didn't allow me to really get a feel for the characters and didn't feel emotionally attached, which I like to feel emotionally attached to the characters.
Because you care about what happens.
Yeah, you get invested, don't you?
Yeah.
Where I didn't really get invested in these characters at the time.
And Mike was the same, you were saying as well.
Yeah, Mike played it. Yeah, Mike played it. Mike was about to stop playing it, but at the time I finished it, and like I was saying, it was drip feeding you. All of a sudden, at the end, it's like a tap. If your tap was dripping, and then right at the end of your glass almost being full, you just turned it on full blast and it just went boof, and water went everywhere. That's what the end is like.
Do you realise you're doing metaphors?
I did when I started it. I was like, I'm going to continue with this one, because this one makes sense.
Your love of metaphors.
I do love metaphors.
Okay, carry on.
So that's what the ending was like for me. And I think Mike enjoyed it as well. But the whole game's based around you rescuing, getting this girl. I don't know if you were rescuing her or not.
You don't know if you're rescuing or kidnapping her?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to say. No, we're going to leave it at that for saying that part. But yeah, it's set in 1912 in this floating city. And obviously, Elizabeth, the girl you're getting, if you've watched the trailers, or even if you watched E3 like last year, you know she can rip holes in dimensions. So that's pretty cool. And they explain, they kind of try and explain stuff behind that, which Mikey's probably the person to ask if it's factual or not, okay. If it's possible.
I don't think Mike knows everything about parallel dimensions.
No, but still. But because of the time history, the time period it's in as well, they also set around the social dynamic of that time period, yeah. Which to me it was pretty cool. And I appreciate that.
Are we going to talk about that social dynamic? Because
I'm not going to go into it any more than that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, in the first half an hour, maybe first hour, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think any gamer who likes history, likes sociology, likes politics, likes science fiction, just enjoys running around shooting things,
yeah,
should buy this game. To me,
it's got a lot of different elements.
To me, it shouldn't have been a first person shooter because it could have been done so much better. I feel than after traipsing around shooting people all the time. But maybe that's because I'm bored of first person shooters. Maybe, I don't know, but to me it didn't suit it. And the guy who wrote it said that it's a shame he had to do it as a first person shooter. But unfortunately, in the gaming society we live in, it's first person shooters that sell.
Yeah.
And I kind of admire him for that, because he's managed to sneak in probably the best story, definitely the best ending of any game out in this generation of consoles.
Wow.
For me personally, the best ending.
Okay, that's a big
yeah. So he's managed to sneak that into a first person shooter. This game could potentially attract people who play crap games like Call of Duty that have no storyline. I mean, they're great for online
crap storyline,
for storyline, yeah. You don't get first person shooters that have good storylines these days. And this guy's managed to sneak one in and gone, oh, look at that.
Look what I did.
Gave you some emotion other than anger and I need to shoot that guy. Which is pretty cool. So, yeah, I actually really liked it. Bez is meant to be writing a review for it, which should hopefully be out by the end of the year. And
or the end of a decade at least. And we guarantee you a review for Bioshock Infinite before the Star Wars film comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
Because otherwise, you know, somebody else will be writing it.
We're going to have to give him a time limit.
Yeah, so he's got until the Star Wars films come out, because otherwise he'll never get it done.
Yeah,
he's a fanboy.
But I'm going to give a spoiler for his thing, for his review, and let you know that he says he's giving it a 10. He says it's that good. I personally, when I did my own little quick thing, I gave it a 9.3, but that's still higher than
any game,
probably any game I've played.
And you were saying that it's broken your run of bad games this year.
Yeah, it really has. Because I think I've played 3 or 4 games before this one this year that were just poo.
Have you played Bioshock 1?
I did. I regret that I ruined it for myself.
I haven't finished it, so don't...
No, I don't know, because I didn't finish it myself.
Right.
Okay. But what I did this time with this Bioshock, even though I still kind of almost fell into the trap... Yeah, I turned off the notifications for achievements.
Okay.
So I just played it purely for what it was. But I still found myself trying to find stuff and hidden stuff and all the tapes that let you know, give you voices of characters in the games to their little voice diaries. So I still did that. But I wasn't achievement hunting. Whereas the first Bioshock, it kind of felt like I had to get these achievements.
Yeah.
And every time one flashed, I was like, whatever achievements are there. Oh, alright, I'm gonna go and do all this stuff and go find all these things.
You got distracted.
Yeah, and I got probably halfway through it and I was like, I'm bored now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did play Bioshock 1.
Because I'm playing it at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I want to play Infinite, but I've heard that the storyline for Bioshock 1, which I've never completed.
Right.
It does relate to bits of Bioshock Infinite, but I've heard you don't need to.
How much have you played of it?
Bioshock.
Yeah.
I haven't got anywhere near the end. I know. I know there's a big twist.
An hour, 2 hours. Yeah. No,
I'm past that. I'm probably.
You've played enough to play Infinite.
Oh, okay. So. Right. Yeah, I'm probably about 4 hours in, maybe.
I'd probably won't even bother playing 2. I haven't played 2 myself.
No, I've heard that it doesn't relate to it. The storyline's a bit weird as well.
There's 2 aspects to 3 that relate to 1. And you don't need to have played it at all. And there's probably 1 bit you might even miss.
Right, okay.
And I had to have it told to me. I didn't see it, but I had it told to me and I thought it was fucking awesome.
Oh, right, but, okay.
Yeah, 2 aspects. And you'll definitely see one of them, and the other one, you'll either think, oh shit, yeah. But you might need someone telling you what it is afterwards.
Okay.
But it's very cool.
Well, I do want to complete it anyway, because I've heard that Bioshock 1 is a great game anyway. So
yeah, and the end is very good.
And yeah, that's what I've heard. And
I did complete it.
And I'm enjoying playing the game, so, you know, it does make me look forward to Infinite. And I've heard some great things about Infinite, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but yeah, you were saying about what other games have you played, which have, like, you were saying that Bioshock Infinite stopped your streak of bad games.
Yeah.
And there was another game you played.
Yeah, usually, after I've played an epic game that I've really enjoyed, whatever I play afterwards just fails to meet the mark. And that wasn't the case this time. I played Tomb Raider afterwards.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. And usually I'm in it for the story. And I was warned beforehand, I will not enjoy the story. Or I might seem to enjoy the story, but as it goes on, I'll probably think, what the fuck is going on? Because apparently they always do some sort of supernatural twist or something like that.
Yeah.
Which they did do. But you can't see it coming from halfway through the game, at least. So.
It's not really much of a surprise.
No, definitely not. But to me, it played really well. The environment was awesome. Graphics, can't really knock the graphics, they were spot on. The gameplay, apparently it's like Uncharted, but I've never played that. So to me, the gameplay was like Batman. I've only played Asylum as well, so it was like Batman Asylum.
Okay.
Which I really enjoy. That's well put together. It was like that game meeting the environment and story of something like Lost.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed both. So for me, this game was brilliant.
But you said that the story wasn't as up to scratch as you would have liked.
It's not that it wasn't up to scratch. It's just that I don't enjoy like fantasy set in real world.
You think it should be separate, sort of thing?
I just prefer it separate. For me, that's those two worlds should be separate. Doesn't mean it's a bad game, doesn't mean it's a bad story. It's just not one I appreciate. It got to the end, I was like, for fuck's sake,
yeah.
What is this? but I knew it was coming, so it weren't too bad. And at the same, I'd actually say it was kind of the opposite to Bioshock. In the sense that I didn't like the gameplay of Bioshock, but I quite liked the story and I really liked the ending. Whereas Tomb Raider, I really liked playing it, but I didn't like the story that much and I hated the gameplay. So it's actually a lot like the season Lost.
And what you said, you hated the gameplay of. Of Tomb Raider, you hate the gameplay.
No, I didn't like the gameplay of Bioshock.
Right, okay.
I didn't like the. I hated the ending of Tomb Raider.
Right, yeah. So it was sort of like Tomb Raider had good gameplay and bad ending, and Bioshock had bad gameplay and good ending.
Yeah, to me.
Okay.
But again, that's because Bioshock didn't suit first person shooter to me either. Tomb Raider seems a lot like Lost, to be fair. We're stranded on an island and supernatural shit goes on.
Yeah, but it's not really your sort of like real game, is it? But Mike played it and he loved it and he wrote a review for it as well, didn't he? So,
and I agree mainly with what he says as well.
Yeah,
for me to enjoy a game, I mean, I stormed through this in 2 days.
Yeah.
So for me to enjoy a game that I don't like the story to, it's a pretty big thing. So yeah, it deserves what it gets.
Yeah.
And the story's not rubbish, it's just not what I like.
Yeah. Maybe we should mention where we can get our reviews from. Because people might be listening to this on iTunes.
Where can we get our reviews?
Where can we get our reviews? So if you find us on Facebook is probably the best place, isn't it?
Yeah, everything's on there, really.
Yeah, LHSRA reviewers, or if you Google LHSRA reviewers, you'll also come up with our Twitter feed and our blog as well, our website, which we post all the reviews to. But if you get Facebook, you're also going to get updates and our thoughts on the latest news stories and what's coming out. And if you've got any questions for us, then email us at the LHSRA.
Yeah, I think so.
At gmail.com.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a break? Are you coughing?
Yeah, I'm going to go get another glass of water, I think.
Okay. That's why I thought, like, I'd mention that so we can come
back. Yeah, we'll be back after these short breaks from from Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash will damn your eyes.
Damn your eyes!
Well, my name, it is Sam Hall, Sam Hall. Yes, my name, it is Sam Hall, it is Sam Hall. My name, it is Sam Hall, and I hate you one and all. And I hate you one and all. Damn your eyes. I killed a man, they said, so they said. I killed a man, they said, so they said. I killed a man, they said, and I smashed in his head, and I left him laying dead. Damn his eyes. But a swinging I must go, I must go. A swinging I must go, I must go. A swinging I must go, while you critters down below yell up, Sam, I told you so. Well, damn your eyes. I saw Molly in the crowd, in the crowd. I saw Molly in the crowd, in the crowd. I saw Molly in the crowd, and I hollered right out loud, hey there, Molly, ain't you proud? Damn your eyes. Then the sheriff, he came too, he came too. Oh yeah, the sheriff, he came too, he came too. The sheriff, he come to, and he said, Sam, how are you? And I said, well, sheriff, how are you? Damn your eyes. My name is Samuel, Samuel. My name is Samuel, Samuel. My name is Samuel, and I'll see you all in hell. And I'll see you all in hell. Damn your eyes.
Alright, well, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed Johnny.
Damn your eyes.
So, next up is your next game.
Yeah, I don't know even where to start with Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Did you have a dream?
I had a dream.
Did you? What was it about?
That it would be, I thought it would be a bit of a shit game, actually. When I've seen trailers and I thought, oh well, it's just another hack and slash game which is going to be a bit shit, but I thought I'd give it a go anyway because Paul kept going on about it saying it was really good.
Yeah.
And when we spoke about it in podcast 5, did I say
it was
5?
I think it was 5, yeah.
He said it wasn't very hack and slashy, so I thought, okay, but yeah, bullshit, because it is hack and slash.
You were fucking hack and slash. I watched it for like half an hour, and that's all you do.
Well, I see where he's coming from, because in traditional hack and slash games, you're going to have, like, your one person who's going to have, like, be majorly overpowered, which this game does have, but not as overpowered as in normal hack and slash games. So, like, you look at Dynasty Warriors, and you're running through crowds of hundreds of people, slashing them through and killing them all one-hit kills.
Right.
But that doesn't happen so much in Revengeance. Usually you're against, like, 3 or 4 enemies. And they're also, like, cyborgs as well. Sometimes they take like a couple of hits. Like, maybe I should explain. In Metal Gear Rising Revenge, you're a cyborg. You work for a private military company. You're assigned to protect the president. No, not president. The prime minister of some undisclosed African state. I'm not a Metal Gear enthusiast, so I don't know any of the backstory, really.
Right.
It's probably like a really important part of a game, but it, I didn't know it anyway.
Irrelevant to you.
Yeah, irrelevant to people who haven't played it. Unless, well, I'll go on to say that in a bit, probably, but you don't have to have played the game, played any of the other Metal Gear games to play it. So yeah, you're a cyborg, and you're a pretty badass cyborg. And there are other cyborgs. It's just apparently normal to be a cyborg in this sort of universe.
Cool.
And these cyborgs also work for, you know, the bad guys, basically, who are just generically evil. Yeah. It's all a very over-the-top...
Are they foreign?
No, actually. No, they're all... I think they're all, like, American private military companies, but...
Well, that's technically foreign.
Well, foreign for us, but
I did mean to the West.
Not foreign for Raiden. Raiden's who you play, or Jack the Ripper, as he also likes to be known.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, which apparently has some sort of reference to before this game as well, but again, I didn't know
Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, okay. Jack the Ripper. But anyway, so... So it is hack and slashy in that you are more powerful than your enemies. You've got like a combo count, a kill count, and like a hit count. Like you've got a you've got a count where you can basically, there's a moment where you do like a bullet time thing with your sword, and you chop people up into little bits, and it also counts how many little bits you've chopped people up into. Now it all sounds like it's going to be like the stupidest game that you can play. Well, it is. But it's in a good way. Like, I loved playing... I've got to say, there's not many games where I'll play and I think, I don't think there's a bad part of that game, but I really don't think there was a bad part of that game. I loved it so much.
What about the controls? Like, I heard the camera...
No, yeah, so... So I did say that the camera does...
I've heard a few people say.
Yeah, this. I'm not even going to say loads, it does it. It doesn't say it loads, but every now and again, there was like a point where you'd be backed into a corner because you might have a few too many enemies, and your camera doesn't want to face away from the corner. So what you're looking at is basically you and a wall and loads of enemies attacking you from underneath the screen.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah. But you find that you can get out of those situations pretty easily. If I was playing on the hardest difficulty, maybe that would have been a major issue.
Yeah.
So I can see where people are coming from. Especially because the block button is actually just your attack button.
Do you not find it a downside that it's only 6 hours as well? And a lot of that's dialogue?
No.
Fair enough.
No, I don't know. I think it's different because I rented the game.
Yeah.
So for me it was like perfect because I could go through it. It was just... an intense game, and it wasn't like in some games where you play, you might have a 9-hour story, but there's points where you just feel like you're not really doing anything for any point. But in this game, it was just one awesome thing after another.
Yeah, see, to me, I'd prefer it to be 6 hours and a lot of dialogue because I can't stand hack and slash, but this campaign sounds quite funny from what I've heard.
It was bits of a campaign where I was just. Like there was bits where I was just literally laughing my ass off because of how absurd some bits were, and some bits where I was just left speechless, like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm running. I'm not going to give it away because I don't want to ruin the absurdity for other people, but like there was bits where I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, this is like, But if you keep thinking that this will never happen in real life, then you're not going to enjoy the campaign.
I love how the writers just ripped on certain people so much that it's gone full circle, and then they've realised, well, now we've got to rip on ourselves for being so stupid.
They do, and but the game doesn't take itself seriously.
No, it doesn't. It just from the bits I've seen, it just attacks everybody, themselves. other people. And I mean, not as in hitting them with swords, but it's attacking their way of life.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, it is good. There's a lot of like little undertones in the game as well, which like you can pick up on. But things like, for example, you know, in the Metal Gear games, there's only two things I know about the Metal Gear games. One is
it's got snakes in it.
No, but one is that you hide in a cardboard box.
And I think that's just Metal Gear 1.
Well, they bring that back from Revengeance.
Yes.
And also that you distract people with porno magazines.
That's brilliant.
But that, you don't do that in this game, but you've got a hologram projector, and it says, cyborgs aren't quite as easily to distract as normal marines, so put softcore porn magazines won't work. So here's a hologram projector.
That's brilliant.
But little things like that, where it doesn't take itself too seriously, and also, like, one of the funniest moments, which is something which, like, you wouldn't even notice if you're playing the game normally, but I was in a cutscene looking around, because you can control the camera in some cutscenes. I looked to the right, and there's one of the cyborgs stroking a kitten. and he's just, like, playing with this little cat. And there's a guy in front of you talking about how he's going to kill you and all the, like, and revealing his evil plan.
I love that.
And there's a cyborg off to the right playing with a little cat. And then when the speech is nearly over, the cat wanders off and the cyborg just looks at his cat and waves at him. Waves him goodbye. So that's, like, one of the bits where I thought, I knew that this game just was taking the mick out of itself, and it does a really good job of it, because it's just so over the top that you can't possibly take it serious.
Yeah.
And it does it really well. It's just so much fun to play. Just constant, like, go, go, go. You go from... it's just so absurd on so many levels, and I can't even go into it too much about how, because I don't want to give away, like, the storyline, but
Worth playing just for its absurdity.
Yeah, worth renting, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I did try some, there are some like extra missions, like virtual reality missions where you have little tasks.
Right.
A little bit of an add-on, but not worth buying the game for. It's not like an extension like a multiplayer section would be. It doesn't add that much to a game, just right. like a little bit of a practice, but it's not, it's a rental title, I would say. I wouldn't buy it. I don't know. I would buy it because it's so much fun and it does what it does great. But like you said, it is only a 6-hour campaign. It doesn't
last long enough, yeah.
And after that, you don't really have anything else to do.
Yeah.
But it will, if you play it, it will be, you won't regret playing it for about 6 hours, because there's the all-out action in it. There's stealth. There's like comedy, and it'll just leave you like, oh my god. I've written a review for it as well, so that's on the blog.
Is it up now? Is it?
No, actually I was going to put it up tonight, but by the time everyone listens to podcast, it'll be up. So that'll be up on my blog. That pretty much covers like what I thought of the game, and there was something else I wanted to mention about it, but I've forgotten what it was. I'll come back to it in a bit, but that's all I really have to say about it. Just go out and play it, because you'll definitely enjoy playing it. It's not for everyone, because it's sort of like over the top anime sort of style hack and slash game.
Yeah.
Like, people who don't traditionally like that, I would still say give it a go, because, like, you'll, I don't know. It's like, have you ever played, you saw,
I don't think I will give it a go now, no. Because I know the ending and I've seen it. So,
but you,
to
you,
me, that's a big part. It's
if I could compare it to another game which has come out,
right?
Which is not that similar. I'd say it's better than this game, but Azura's Wrath.
Oh,
you know,
God.
You know how that was over the top and crazy and didn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah,
that was like, that wasn't as good as Metal Gear Revengeance.
Of course, it wasn't.
Revengeance does it way better, but in that sort of over-the-top style.
Right.
If you could even...
You were selling it to me until that point.
it's not even on the same level as the Zero's Wrath, because that's just stupid. Like, I don't know, stupid. It's just not as good as Metal Gear Revengeance. Revengeance does it really well.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we've done games. Yeah. We've done news. We've done games. We move on to movies.
Yeah.
And I've decided that I'm okay with them being called movies now.
Okay. Were you films before?
Yeah. I still call them films, but I've realised that they no longer make films.
Right.
Because it's not actually on a film. It's all digital, so films aren't made anymore. They are now just movies.
Don't they have films in the cinemas still?
I don't think they do. I think it's digital projection from, like, a disc.
Hmm.
I think.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. So I was quite disappointed when I came to that realisation, because I've always enjoyed calling them films and never really understood why people call them movies. Yeah, I suppose now. Now it makes more sense to call them movies than films.
Go back to like 1920s style and just call them the talkies.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. It was all silent before then. Well,
moving pictures.
The talkies.
Oh, good. Yeah, so. Well,
What talkie have you seen?
What about planes?
Okay.
I watched Flights recently.
Right, okay.
A few days ago, actually. It's got Denzel Washington in it, and it is about aeroplanes. Or about a aeroplane.
So it's called Flights.
It's called Flights.
And it's about aeroplanes.
Yeah, one aeroplane.
Okay.
So it was actually about a pilot.
Otherwise, it would be called Flights.
Yeah, exactly. That wouldn't make sense. But yeah, all right. Denzel Washington's a pilot in this, and he's an alcoholic. And the opening chapter is pretty much he gets smashed, takes some coke to get over his hangover, which I'm really intrigued about. And then gets on a plane and flies it full of passengers, 102 I think passengers on this plane.
Yeah.
And during the flight, I'm not going to give away the entire story, this is just the first chapter, so this is the opening scene really, or the opening few scenes. But if you've seen the trailer, you know the plane crashes, and Denzel Washington is just smashed. He wakes up after being woken up by his co-pilot, and decides he needs to fly this plane upside down to stop it from nose-diving, which is mental. But they explain that later. I'm not sure if it works or not, but they explain it. And then the rest of the film is just about his alcoholism and if he should go to jail for... Or is it like his court case of him crashing a plane and he kills 6 people in the process. But nobody else who could have, nobody else who's done simulations of this saved anybody in it.
Yeah.
So he's either saved, 96 people, or he's killed 6 people because he was drunk.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's revolved around that, revolved around his alcohol abuse. Him coming to terms with it, if he comes to terms with it, and it's his court case.
Okay, and so there's quite a lot of sort of there's the legal side, and there's also the side of like him dealing with his personal problems.
Yeah, so. I mean, all the fun of it. The yeah, I'd say like the fun parts where you're like, what the fuck is going on? It's and he's a badass type thing. It's in the first half an hour. After that, it's like. It sells down, it becomes very personal, it tries to explain stuff, which it does a fairly good job of, and it's just very cool. I really like it. I like Denzel Washington, that he's one of my favourite actors. Even when he's in crap films, he's like films where stories I don't appreciate, he still manages to make me like the film.
Yeah,
which is impressive for an actor to do. The only other actor I can think of that managed to pull that off quite often is Samuel Jackson.
Well, yeah. But he's never in any bad films.
The Man's pretty bad.
He did that awesome film of a plane.
He's on a plane, yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah, he's done some bad films, but...
Imagine if they had a crossover of him flying a plane upside down. But Snakes on a Flight.
But if, if Samuel Jackson wasn't on Snakes on a Plane,
yeah,
Snakes on a Plane would be on par with stuff like Octopus versus Mega Shark. Or,
yeah.
So, yeah, he, even when he's in bad films, he saves them. He's so much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good film. I recommend people watch it.
And you were saying there's not really any bad actors in it as well.
No, there's no bad acting in it at all. And it makes you laugh on occasion, and then it makes you feel sorry for characters. So it's, yeah, it's a little bit of a roller coaster, but a roller coaster for kids, if that makes sense. Until the end. The end's like a bit of a cliff. Like, oh, yeah. What's going to happen?
And okay.
You kind of, you want to know.
So it's worth watching then.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it. I recommend it to anybody who can withstand a storyline.
Cool.
Yeah. If you don't like stories, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So. What I was watching, well, not recently, it was probably just after our last podcast, I watched Silver Linings Playbook. Which yeah. was like the Oscar-winning, critically acclaimed film.
When did that come out?
Ish. Don't know. It's recently, in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is in the last 6 months, I think. But, yeah, it was pretty good. It was, I don't want to give away the story too much. I did give away quite a bit of the story in a review.
Right.
Which is on the blog as well, because I did a review for it. But yeah, it was good. It was sort of like this guy who's been in a mental sort of institution after he finds his wife cheating on his cheating on him with his I want to say his colleague, but I don't know if it was his colleague. But yeah, some guy. Anyway,
right.
Finds his wife cheating on him, and this guy, he's in the shower. He goes to it's Bradley Collins who played Bradley Collins, is that his name?
I don't know, I'm rubbish of actors.
Bradley Cooper, that's it. Yeah, okay. Bradley Cooper. So anyway, he says to Bradley Cooper, I think you better leave. So he goes mental and batters him as you would, but he gets sent to a mental home because he's gone off the rails because of it, and he's just, it's a film about him coming to terms with sort of the loss of that relationship, and his goal is to try and get back with his wife. Like, he forgives her for everything she's done, and he just really wants to get back with her. And it's about him like sort of getting over the effect it's had on him, because it sent him a bit loopy.
Yeah.
And he meets another girl through his friend. It's his friend's wife's sister, and she's a bit mental as well. And then they sort of like be mental together. Pretty much, her husband had died recently, so she's in a sort of crazy place as well. And yeah, it was about like their sort of journey to sort of recovery almost, I guess. And he keeps going on about how he wants to get back with his wife, and she's like, okay, I'll help you get back with your wife if you do me like this favour. And then that favour sort of brings them together, and it's just about sort of like it's sort of like a journey for their recovery, but it's sort of sprinkled in with comedy, with Robert De Niro's in it as well. And he's really good. He plays Bradley Cooper's dad, and he does a really good job, because he's just a side story about him losing his business because of gambling, and he just becomes a gambling addict. And yeah, they're all crazy. There's lots of little subplots in there which are really good, and it wasn't for him. I would consider it to be a rom-com movie, which isn't what I'd usually watch, but it was pretty good rom-com, so yeah, it's worth watching.
Cool. I have to find it.
Yeah,
it should be around somewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It wasn't like it'll keep you interested in it. It's not a film where there's any really boring moments. There's funny bits sprinkled in, and just like him getting over his mental illness puts him in really sort of crazy situations. Like, he is reading this book which his wife has read, because he thinks if he reads this book and he understands this book, she will have a connection with him over this book.
Yeah.
And he gets to the end of his book and he's like, what the fuck? And he didn't like the ending. And he throws it out the window, smashes his window, storms into his mum and dad's bedroom, and he's like, I can't believe the ending of his book. And he just, it's like four in the morning while they're asleep, and he's just ranting at them about how this ended of his book.
This guy really reminds me of someone that we both know. Who would... I'm not going to say who on a fucking podcast.
Okay.
He went a bit crazy at one point.
Oh, right.
Okay. I've just realised as well that we haven't put in the slot for final thoughts.
The light's still on.
The light's still on. He made me jump a little bit there. He's like, no! Yeah, final thoughts. On the spot.
You first.
A comparison between EA and BioWare.
Right.
BioWare, EA obviously charge you an arm and a leg for everything. If you buy your game for £40, you're not allowed to trade it in. If you want to play online, you've got to spend an extra £10. If you want a gun to play online, you got to spend an extra £10. If you want bullets to put in that gun, you got to spend another £3. If you want another magazine to go in that gun after you've used that magazine, that's an extra £2.50.
Yeah.
Whereas BioWare...
Are you saying that you don't like microtransactions, then? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't mind them to an extent, but EA seems to abuse the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas BioWare seems to be going down a different road with it. Well, I'm hoping they are, anyway, with this release of this DLC for Far Cry 3.
Okay.
Saying that you don't even need to own the game.
Yeah.
You can just download this straight away. And obviously Rockstar have done it in the past as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of hoping there's going to be some sort of tactics, like competition of tactics. Like EA are going to try this micro bullshit.
Microtransactions, yeah.
And hopefully have themselves shut down in the process and have all their games sold off to decent developers and decent publishers.
Yeah.
Whereas BioWare and Rockstar will hopefully do the opposite and treat their customers with some actual respect.
Yeah.
So that's my final thought.
My final thought is that I am currently having Aliens Colonial Marines winging its way towards me in a rental disc. So I'm going to see how bad it is. And I'm looking forward to the train wreck that is.
I don't think you can think it's worse than I did. I'm not sure if that's possible for anyone to think it was worse than I thought.
So you think you've got that ultimate bad opinion of Aliens Colonial Marines?
Yeah, I think... I'm not sure that I think... Because I slagged it off and have continued to slag it off so much.
Yeah.
That it can't be worse than...
What I think it is.
it'd be like the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Where it got slagged off that much it won't be that, actually. But it got slagged off that much that you play it. It's not great, but it's not that bad. Whereas if you just played it yourself, you might be like, what the fuck? But comparing Aliens to Mass Effect 3, I feel like stabbing myself in the eye just for that.
Well, I have no high hopes for the game now. I mean, when we went to Eurogamer, we thought it was going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Now we know that it's not.
Yeah.
And now I know that that's not what to expect. So I don't think it's going to be as bad as when you played it and you were still hoping that it would be pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I was hoping that at least the multiplayer would save it, but never mind.
Yeah, that's final thoughts.
Yeah. So... That's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. And follow us on Facebook, LHSRA Reviewers. Twitter is LHSRA_reviewers.
Yep.
Email us at thelhsra@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or just Google LHSRA Reviewers, because you're going to get all of our shit there.
Yeah, it's like we're on 5 or 6 different mediums now.
YouTube and...
Yeah,
Blogger. Our blog as well, yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I don't think there's another holiday coming up. that we could justify not doing.
I think we should be more organised. Yeah. That, so.
In 2 weeks, and hopefully there'll be at least one extra person.
Yeah. So I think in the meantime we'll have the Revengeance review, and you said you might do a review.
Yeah.
For Flight,
yeah. So in the next 2 weeks, hopefully Revengeance review. Well, definitely Revengeance review.
Yeah.
Hopefully BioShock.
Yeah. If you're listening, Paul, put your finger out.
Put it on that bloody keyboard.
not straight away.
Watch it first. Yeah, no, I might do one for Flight. If I don't do one for Flight, I'll do one for something else.
We'll have reviews, yeah.
Yeah, I've started getting a load of films from this director and writer that I like, but I can't remember his name.
Cool, so look out for the undisclosed director and writer. And we'll catch you next time.
Yep. Ta-da. Bye.
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?